Foolishly, people who are enamored of the glimmer of modern materialistic advancement are thinking that the Krishna consciousness movement is for less intelligent men. They think, quote, I am better off being busy with my material comforts, maintaining a nice apartment, family, and sex life, unquote. These people do not know that at any moment they can be kicked out of their material situation. Due to ignorance, they do not know that real life is eternal. The temporary comforts of the body are not the goal of life, and it is due only to darkest ignorance that people become enamored of the glimmering advancement of material comforts. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur has therefore said that the advancement of material knowledge renders a person more foolish because it causes one to forget his real identity by its glimmer. This is doom for him, because this human form of life is meant for getting out of material contamination. By the advancement of material knowledge, people are becoming more and more entangled in material existence. They have no hope of being liberated from this catastrophe. In the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, it is stated that Prahlad Maharaj, a great devotee of the Lord, prayed to Lord Nrisingadev, the half-lion, half-man incarnation, as follows. Quote, My dear Lord, I repeatedly pray unto your lotus feet that I may simply be stronger in devotional service. I simply pray that my Krishna consciousness may be more strong and steady, because happiness derived out of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is so powerful that with it one can have all the other perfections of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and even the attainment of liberation from material existence. Unquote. Actually, a pure devotee does not aspire after any of these perfections because the happiness derived from devotional service in Krishna consciousness is so transcendental and so unlimited that no other happiness can compare to it. It is said that even one drop of happiness in Krishna consciousness stands beyond comparison with an ocean of happiness derived from any other activity. Thus, any person who has developed even a little quantity of pure devotional service can very easily kick out all the other kinds of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. There was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, known as Kolavecha Sridhar, who was a very poor man. He was doing a small business selling cups made from the leaves of plantain trees, and his income was almost nothing. Still, he was spending 50% of his small income on the worship of the Ganges, and with the other 50%, he was somehow living. Lord Chaitanya once revealed himself to this confidential devotee, Kolavecha Sridhar, and offered him any opulence he liked. But Sridhar informed the Lord that he did not want any material opulence. He was quite happy in his present position and wanted only to gain unflinching faith and devotion unto the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. That is the position of pure devotees. If they can be engaged 24 hours each day in devotional service, they do not want anything else, not even the happiness of liberation or of becoming one with the Supreme. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is also said that any person who has developed even a small amount of devotional service doesn't care a fig for any kind of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, or the five kinds of liberation. Any kind of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, liberation, or sense gratification cannot even dare to enter into the heart of a pure devotee. It is stated that as the personal attendants and maidservants of a queen follow the queen with all respect and obeisances, similarly, the joys of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation follow the devotional service of the Lord. In other words, a pure devotee does not lack any kind of happiness derived from any source. He does not want anything but service to Krishna. But even if he should have another desire, the Lord fulfills this desire without the devotee's asking. The rareness of pure devotional service. In the preliminary phase of spiritual life, there are different kinds of austerities, penances, and similar processes for attaining self-realization. However, even if an executor of these processes is without any material desire, he still cannot achieve devotional service. And aspiring by oneself alone to achieve devotional service is also not very hopeful, because Krishna does not agree to award devotional service to merely anyone. Krishna can easily offer a person material happiness or even liberation, but he does not agree very easily to award a person engagement in his devotional service. Devotional service can in fact be attained only through the mercy of a pure devotee. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19, verse 151, it is said, quote, "By the mercy of the spiritual master, who is a pure devotee, and by the mercy of Krishna, one can achieve the platform of devotional service. There is no other way." Unquote. The rarity of devotional service is also confirmed in the Tantra Shastra, where Lord Shiva says to Sati, quote, "My dear Sati, if one is a very fine philosopher, analyzing the different processes of knowledge, he can achieve liberation from the material entanglement. By performance of the ritualistic sacrifices recommended in the Vedas, one can be elevated to the platform of pious activities and thereby enjoy the material comforts of life to the fullest extent. But all such endeavors can hardly offer anyone devotional service to the Lord, not even if one tries for it by such processes for many, many thousands of births." Unquote. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj that merely by personal efforts or by the instructions of higher authorities, one cannot attain to the stage of devotional service. One must become blessed by the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who is completely freed from the contamination of material desires. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, sixth chapter, verse 18, Narad also says to Yudhishthir, quote, "My dear king, it is Lord Krishna, known as Mukunda, who is the eternal protector of the Pandavas and the Yadus. He is also your spiritual master and instructor in every respect. He is the only worshipable God for you. He is very dear and affectionate, and he is the director of all your activities, both individual and familial. And what's more, he sometimes carries out your orders as if he were your messenger. My dear king, how very fortunate you are, because for others, all these favors given to you by the Supreme Lord would not even be dreamt of." Unquote. The purport to this verse is that the Lord easily offers liberation, but he rarely agrees to offer a soul devotional service, because by devotional service, the Lord himself becomes purchased by the devotee. The happiness of becoming one with the Supreme. Srila Rupa Goswami says that if Brahmananda, or the happiness of becoming one with the Supreme, is multiplied by 1 trillion-fold, it still cannot compare to an atomic fraction of the happiness derived from the ocean of devotional service. In the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, Prahlad Maharaj, while satisfying Lord Nrsingadev by his prayers, says, quote, "My dear Lord of the Universe, I am feeling transcendental pleasure in your presence and have become merged in the ocean of happiness. I now consider the happiness of Brahmananda to be no more than the water in the impression left by a cow's hoof in the earth compared to this ocean of bliss." Unquote. Similarly, it is confirmed in the Bhavartha Deepika, Sridhar Swami's commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, quote, "My dear Lord, some of the fortunate persons who are swimming in the ocean of your nectar of devotion and who are relishing the nectar of the narration of your pastimes certainly know ecstasies which immediately minimize the value of the happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Such a transcendental devotee regards any kind of happiness other than devotional service as no better than straw in the street." Unquote. Attracting Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has stated that devotional service attracts even Krishna. Krishna attracts everyone, but devotional service attracts Krishna. The symbol of devotional service in the highest degree is Radharani. Krishna is called Madan Mohan, which means that he is so attractive that he can defeat the attraction of thousands of cupids. But Radharani is still more attractive, for she can even attract Krishna. Therefore, devotees call her Madan Mohan Mohani, the attractor of Cupid. To perform devotional service means to follow in the footsteps of Radharani, and devotees in Vrindavan put themselves under the care of Radharani in order to achieve perfection in their devotional service. In other words, devotional service is not an activity of the material world. It is directly under the control of Radharani. In Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the Mahatmas, or great souls, are under the protection of Daivi Prakriti, the internal energy, or Radharani. So, being directly under the control of the internal potency of Krishna, devotional service attracts even Krishna himself. This fact is corroborated by Krishna in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, verse 20, where he says, quote, "My dear Uddhava, you may know it from me that the attraction I feel for devotional service rendered by my devotees is not to be attained even by the performance of mystic yoga, philosophical speculation, ritualistic sacrifices, the study of Vedanta, the practice of severe austerities, or the giving of everything in charity. These are, of course, very nice activities, but they are not as attractive to me as the transcendental loving service rendered by my devotees." Unquote. How Krishna becomes attracted by the devotional service of his devotees is described by Narad in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 10th chapter, verses 48 and 49. There Narad addresses King Yudhishthir while the king is appreciating the glories of the character of Prahlad Maharaj. A devotee always appreciates the activities of other devotees. Yudhishthira Maharaj was appreciating the qualities of Prahlad, and that is one symptom of a pure devotee. A pure devotee never thinks of himself as great. He always thinks that other devotees are greater than himself. The king was thinking, quote, "Prahlad Maharaj is actually a devotee of the Lord, while I am nothing," unquote. And while thinking this, he was addressed by Narad as follows, quote, "My dear King Yudhishthir, you, the Pandava brothers, are the only fortunate people in this world. the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared on this planet and is presenting himself to you as an ordinary human being. He is always with you in all circumstances. He is living with you and covering himself from the eyes of others. Others cannot understand that he is the Supreme Lord, but he is still living with you as your cousin, as your friend, and even as your messenger. Therefore, you must know that nobody in this world is more fortunate than you. Unquote. In Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna appeared in his universal form, Arjuna prayed, quote, "My dear Krishna, I thought of you as my cousin brother, and so I have shown disrespect to you in so many ways, calling you Krishna or friend. But you are so great that I could not understand." Unquote. So that was the position of the Pandavas. Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the greatest among all greats, he remained with those royal brothers, being attracted by their devotion, by their friendship, and by their love. That is the proof of how great this process of devotional service is. It can attract even the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is great, but devotional service is greater than God because it attracts him. People who are not in devotional service can never understand what great value there is in rendering service to the Lord. And now chapter 2, the first stages of devotion. The three categories of devotional service, which Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, are listed as devotional service in practice, devotional service in ecstasy, and devotional service in pure love of Godhead. There are many subheadings in each of these categories. Generally, it is understood that in the category of devotional service in practice, there are two different qualities. Devotional service in ecstasy has four qualities, and devotional service in pure love of Godhead has six qualities. These qualities will be explained by Srila Rupa Goswami later on. In this connection, Srila Rupa Goswami suggests that the person eligible for Krishna consciousness or devotional service can be classified by his particular taste. He says that devotional service is a continual process from one's previous life. No one can take to devotional service unless he has had some previous connection with it. For example, suppose in this life I practice devotional service to some extent. Even though it is not 100% perfectly performed, whatever I have done will not be lost. In my next life, from the very point where I stop in this life, I shall begin again. In this way, there is always a continuity. But even if there is no continuity, if only by chance a person takes interest in a pure devotee's instruction, he can be accepted and can advance in devotional service. Anyway, for persons who have a natural taste for understanding books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is easier than for those who are simply accustomed to mental speculation and argumentative processes. To support this statement, there are many authoritative assertions by the learned scholars of bygone ages. According to their general opinion, a person may become governed by certain convictions derived by his own arguments and decisions. then another person, who may be a greater logician, will nullify these conclusions and establish another thesis. In this way, the path of argument will never be safe or conclusive. Srimad Bhagavatam recommends, therefore, that one follow in the footsteps of the authorities. Here is a general description of devotional service given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Previously, it has been stated that devotional service can be divided into three categories, namely devotional service in practice, devotional service in ecstasy, and devotional service in pure love of God. Now Sri Rupa Goswami proposes to describe devotional service in practice. Practice means employing our senses in some particular type of work. Therefore, devotional service in practice means utilizing our different sensory organs in service to Krishna. Some of the senses are meant for acquiring knowledge, and some are meant for executing the conclusions of our thinking, feeling, and willing. So practice means employing both the mind and the senses in practical devotional service. This practice is not for developing something artificial. For example, a child learns or practices to walk. This walking is not unnatural. The walking capacity is there originally in the child, and simply by a little practice, he walks very nicely. Similarly, devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the natural instinct of every living entity. Even uncivilized men like the Aborigines offer their respectful obeisances to something wonderful exhibited by nature's law, and they appreciate that behind some wonderful exhibition or action, there is something supreme. So this consciousness, though lying dormant in those who are materially contaminated, is found in every living entity. And when purified, this is called Krishna consciousness. There are certain prescribed methods for employing our senses and mind in such a way that our dormant consciousness for loving Krishna will be invoked, as much as the child, with a little practice, can begin to walk. One who has no basic walking capacity cannot walk by practice. Similarly, Krishna consciousness cannot be aroused simply by practice. Actually, there is no such practice. When we wish to develop our innate capacity for devotional service, there are certain processes which, by our accepting and executing them, will cause that dormant capacity to be invoked. Such practice is called sadhana bhakti. Every living entity, under the spell of material energy, is held to be in an abnormal condition of madness. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, quote, "Generally, the conditioned soul is mad because he is always engaged in activities which are the causes of bondage and suffering." Unquote. Spirit soul, in his original condition, is joyful, blissful, eternal, and full of knowledge. Only by his implication in material activities has he become miserable, temporary, and full of ignorance. This is due to vikarma. Vikarma means actions which should not be done. Therefore, we must practice sadhana bhakti, which means to offer mangal arti, or deity worship, in the morning, to refrain from certain material activities, to offer obeisances to the spiritual master, and to follow many other rules and regulations which will be discussed here one after another. These practices will help one become cured of madness. As a man's mental disease is cured by the directions of a psychiatrist, so this sadhana bhakti cures the conditioned soul of his madness under the spell of maya, material illusion. Narad Muni mentions this sadhana bhakti in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 1st chapter, verse 32. He says there to King Yudhishthir, quote, My dear king, one has to fix his mind on Krishna by any means, unquote. This is called Krishna consciousness. It is the duty of the acharya, the spiritual master, to find the ways and means for his disciple to fix his mind on Krishna. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us an authorized program for this purpose, centered around the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This chanting has so much power that it immediately attaches one to Krishna. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. Somehow or other, one has to fix his mind on Krishna. The great saint Ambarish Maharaj, although a responsible king, fixed his mind on Krishna. And similarly, anyone who tries to fix his mind in this way will very rapidly make progress in successfully reviving his original Krishna consciousness. Now, this sadhana bhakti, or practice of devotional service, may also be divided into two parts. The first part is called service according to regulative principles. One has to follow these different regulative principles by the order of the spiritual master or on the strength of authoritative scriptures. And there can be no question of refusal. That is called vaidhi or regulated. One has to do it without argument. Another part of sadhana bhakti is called raganuga. Raganuga refers to the point at which, by following the regulative principles, one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and executes devotional service out of natural love. For example, a person engaged in devotional service may be ordered to rise early in the morning and offer aarti, which is a form of deity worship. In the beginning, by the order of his spiritual master, one rises early in the morning and offers aarti, but then he develops real attachment. When he gets this attachment, he automatically tries to decorate the deity and prepare different kinds of dresses and thinks of different plans to execute his devotional service nicely. Although it is within the category of practice, this offering of loving service is spontaneous. So the practice of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, can be divided into two parts, namely regulative and spontaneous. Rupa Goswami defines the first part of devotional service, or vaidhi bhakti, as follows. Quote, when there is no attachment or no spontaneous loving service to the Lord, and one is engaged in the service of the Lord simply out of obedience to the order of the spiritual master or in pursuance of the scriptures, such obligatory service is called vaidhi bhakti. Unquote. These principles of vaidhi bhakti are also described in Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 1st Chapter, verse 5, where Shukdev Goswami instructs the dying Maharaj Parikshit as to his course of action. Maharaj Parikshit met Shukdev Goswami just a week before his death, and the king was perplexed as to what should be done before he was to pass on. Many other sages also arrived there, but no one could give him the proper direction. Shukdev Goswami, however, gave this direction to him as follows. Quote, my dear king, if you want to be fearless in meeting your death next week, for actually everyone is afraid at the point of death, then you must immediately begin the process of hearing and chanting and remembering God. Unquote. If one can chant and hear Hare Krishna and always remember Lord Krishna, then he is sure to become fearless of death, which may come at any moment. In the statements of Shukdev Goswami, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Therefore, Shukdev recommends that one should always hear about Krishna. He does not recommend that one hear and chant about the demigods. The Mayavadis, or impersonalists, say that one may chant any name, either that of Krishna or those of the demigods, and the result will be the same. But actually, this is not a fact. According to the authorized version of Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to hear and chant about Lord Vishnu or Krishna only. So Shukdev Goswami has recommended to Parikshit Maharaj that in order to be fearless of death, one has to hear and chant and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, by all means. He also mentions that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sarvatma. Sarvatma means the Supersoul of everyone. Krishna is also mentioned as Ishvara, the Supreme Controller who is situated in everyone's heart. Therefore, if some way or other we become attached to Krishna, he will make us free from all danger. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that anyone who becomes a devotee of the Lord is never vanquished. Others, however, are always vanquished. Vanquished means that after getting this human form of life, a person does not come out of the entanglement of birth and death and thus misses his golden opportunity. Such a person does not know where he is being thrown by the laws of nature. Suppose one does not develop Krishna consciousness in this human form of life. He will be thrown into the cycle of birth and death, involving 8,400,000 species of life, and his spiritual identity will remain lost. One does not know whether he is going to be a plant, or a beast, or a bird, or something like that, because there are so many species of life. The recommendation of Rupa Goswami for reviving our original Krishna consciousness is that somehow or other we should apply our minds to Krishna very seriously and thus also become fearless of death. After death, we do not know our destination because we are completely under the control of the laws of nature. Only Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is controller over the laws of nature. Therefore, if we take shelter of Krishna seriously, there will be no fear of being thrown back into the cycle of so many species of life. A sincere devotee will surely be transferred to the abode of Krishna, as affirmed in Bhagavad Gita. In the Padma Purana, also, the same process is advised. There, it is said that one should always remember Lord Vishnu. This is called dhyana or meditation, always remembering Krishna. It is said that one has to meditate with his mind fixed upon Vishnu. Padma Purana recommends that one always fix his mind on the form of Vishnu by meditation and not forget him at any moment. And this state of consciousness is called samadhi or trance. We should always try to mold the activities of our lives in such a way that we will constantly remember Vishnu or Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. Whether one concentrates his mind on the four-handed form of Vishnu or on the form of two-handed Krishna, it is the same. The Padma Purana recommends, somehow or other, always think of Vishnu without forgetting him under any circumstances. Actually, this is the most basic of all regulative principles. For when there is an order from a superior about doing something, there is simultaneously a prohibition. When the order is that one should always remember Krishna, the prohibition is that one should never forget him. Within this simple order and prohibition, all regulative principles are found complete. Thank you. This regulative principle is applicable to all varnas and ashrams, the castes and occupations of life. There are four varnas, namely the Brahmins, or priests and intellectuals, the Kshatriyas, warriors and statesmen, the Vaishyas, or businessmen and farmers, and the Shudras, or laborers and servants. There are also four standard ashrams, namely Brahmacharya, or student life, Grahastha, or householder life, Vanaprastha, or retired, and Sannyas, or renounced. The regulative principles are not only for the Brahmacharis, or celibate students, to follow, but are applicable for all. It doesn't matter whether one is a beginner, a Brahmachari, or is very advanced, a Sannyasi. The principle of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly and not forgetting Him at any moment is meant to be followed by everyone without fail. If this injunction is followed, then all other rules and regulations will automatically fall into line. All other rules and regulations should be treated as assistants or servants to this one basic principle. The injunctions of rules and regulations and the resultant reactions are mentioned in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, verses 2 and 3. Chamasa Muni, one of the nine sages who came to instruct King Nimi, addressed the king and said, quote, "The four social orders, namely the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas and the Shudras, have come out of the different parts of the universal form of the Supreme Lord as follows. The Brahmins have come out from the head. The Kshatriyas have come out from the arms. The Vaishyas have come out from the waist. And the Shudras have come out from the legs. Similarly, the Sannyasis have come out from the head. The Vanaprasthas from the arms. The Grahasthas from the waist, and the Brahmacharis from the legs." Unquote. These different orders of society and grades of spiritual advancement are conceived in terms of qualification. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that the four social orders and the four spiritual orders are created by the Lord Himself in terms of different individual qualities. As the different parts of the body have different types of activities, so the social orders and spiritual orders also have different types of activities in terms of qualification and position. The target of these activities, however, is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, quote, "He is the Supreme Enjoyer," unquote. So, whether one is a Brahmin or a Shudra, one has to satisfy the Supreme Lord by one's activities. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by a verse which reads, quote, "Everyone must be engaged in his particular duty, but the perfection of such work should be tested by how far the Lord is satisfied with such activities." Unquote. The injunction herein is that one has to act according to his position, and by such activities one must either satisfy the Supreme Personality or else fall down from one's position. For example, a Brahmin who is born out of the head of the Lord has as his business to preach the transcendental Vedic sounds or Shabda Brahma. Because the Brahmin is the head, he has to preach the transcendental sound, and he also has to eat on behalf of the Supreme Lord. According to Vedic injunctions, when a Brahmin eats, it is to be understood that the Personality of Godhead is eating through him. It is not, however, that the Brahmin should simply eat on behalf of the Lord and not preach the message of Bhagavad Gita to the world. Actually, one who preaches the message of the Gita is very dear to Krishna, as is confirmed in the Gita itself. Such a preacher is factually a Brahmin, and thus by feeding him, one feeds the Supreme Lord directly. Similarly, the Kshatriya has to protect people from the onslaughts of Maya. That is his duty. For example, as soon as Maharaj Pariksit saw that a black man was attempting to kill a cow, he immediately took his sword, wanting to kill the black man, whose name was Kali. That is the Kshatriya's duty. Violence is required in order to give protection. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna directly gave his order to Arjuna to commit violence on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, just to give protection to the people in general. The Vaishyas are meant for producing agricultural products, trading them, and distributing them. And the working class, or Shudras, are those who haven't the intelligence of the Brahmins or the Kshatriyas or the Vaishyas, and therefore they are meant to help these higher classes by bodily labor. In this way, there is full cooperation and spiritual advancement among all the different orders of society. And when there is no such cooperation, the members of society will fall down. That is the present position in the Kali Yuga, this age of quarrel. Nobody is doing his duty, and everyone is simply puffed up by calling himself a Brahmin or intellectual, or a Kshatriya, or soldier or statesman. But actually, such people are without status. They are out of touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are not Krishna conscious. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is intended to set the whole of human society in proper condition so that everyone will be happy and take profit from developing Krishna consciousness. Lord Sri Krishna instructed Uddhava that by following the injunctions of the social and spiritual orders of human society, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of such satisfaction, the whole society gets all the necessities of life amply and without difficulty. This is because, after all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead maintains all other living entities. If the whole society performs its respective duties and remains in Krishna consciousness, there is no doubt that all of its members will live very peacefully and happily. Without wanting the necessities of life, the whole world will be turned into Vaikuntha, a spiritual abode. Even without being transferred to the kingdom of God, by following the injunctions of Srimad Bhagavatam and prosecuting the duties of Krishna consciousness, all human society will be happy in all respects.